I certainly enjoyed that message tonight. I hope all of you were blessed to enjoy it. I remember Brother Raymond Lord said one time at a meeting, he said, you know, when you hear good preaching, it makes you want to preach. And I've enjoyed this sermon tonight, and our brother has stirred up my mind. So if y'all give me about 2 hours, y'all thought I was joking, didn't you? I'll try to be brief, but I do want to share with you all some thoughts that came to my mind while Brother Wynn was preaching to us so ably about these keys. And by the way, Brother Wynn, I thought about it when you were opening your remarks tonight, and that you make mistakes in your preaching. Today I got a text from a sister in the church up at Bethel in North Carolina, where I pastored for a while. And she sent me a text, and she said, I'd sent her a happy Easter greeting, and she sent me a text and said, Brother Mike preached a perfect Easter sermon today. So I sent that text to Brother Mike. I thought that'll encourage him. He said, well, I did study it a lot this week, but I felt so bad about my effort. And I said to him, I said, well, when you're preaching about Jesus, the greatest subject in the universe, you're always going to feel like you failed. I'm serious. You think about that. Doesn't matter how much liberty or freedom a preacher has, compared to how great Jesus is, our messages are always coming up short. It's the greatest story ever told. But we don't want to grow discouraged in our efforts. We want to continue to labor in the gospel the best we can. And about the keys of the kingdom, I thought about something. The Lord said to the Apostle Peter, I give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And a key, as you said, is something that unlocks things. And I think he was giving him the key to unlock the Word of God for God's children. And I want to notice with you something the Apostle Peter said in the last chapter of his second epistle. This is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now I want you to notice the Apostle Peter called Paul his beloved brother. You remember when Paul had to withstand him to his face and corrected Peter and really, I'm sure, embarrassed the Apostle Peter. But Peter's let all of that go. He's forgotten that. And he describes Paul as my beloved brother. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us could just let our hurt feelings go, get over our offenses and get on with life? And forgive people. When you forgive people, you're doing them a favor, but you're doing yourself a big favor. You're letting yourself out of prison. So Peter has forgiven Paul, and now he's going to pay Paul a great compliment. Verse 16, that's also in all of his epistles, that is in the epistles of Paul, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Now, I can relate to that. When I'm reading the letter to the Romans, I just scratch my head a lot. What does that mean? But I'm comforted to know the Apostle Peter found it hard to be understood. Are y'all getting this? The Apostle Peter was an apostle. He walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He was blessed on the day of Pentecost to preach a glorious sermon. And yet when he's reading Paul's writings, He says there are things in there hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. Beloved, when we come up on something in the Bible we don't understand, we ought not to just come up with any kind of explanation and rest the scriptures and twist it. That's what Peter said, some do. Those that are unlearned and unstable rest, W-R-E-S-T, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So when you come up on something in the Bible that you don't understand, or I don't understand, what we ought to do is pray for understanding, for a key to the scripture. Would you all agree with that? Because after all, when you're praying, you know who you're praying to? You're praying to the author of the book. You know, if you're reading a novel or some book written by man, and there's something in the book you don't understand, if you could talk to the author, he could help you. Well, you and I can talk to the author. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So if you want understanding, pray for God to give you the key to unlock it. And it may be that God isn't ready for you to see it right then. And you just have to be reconciled and go on. I appreciate something Brother Sonny Pyle said years ago. I think he was probably the best at understanding the Bible of anybody I've ever known personally. And he said, when I'm reading the Bible and I come up on something I don't understand, he says, I just keep reading and praying for light instead of just getting bogged down on something that maybe the Lord is not ready to give me understanding of. So the Apostle Peter needed some keys to unlock what Paul had written. And if he needed keys, you know I need them. And so I endorse what our brother has said tonight about when Jesus said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ was given to the New Testament church. And a lot of the Jews just didn't get it. I want to turn with you just a moment to Acts chapter 13. And notice something that is written here in Paul's letter, or in Paul's sermon, in Acts chapter 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Who is the word of this salvation sent to? To those that fear God. The fear of God is a great evidence or sign that you have been born again. And the gospel and the word of God is for you. And whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. I don't even want to try to explain the Bible to people that don't fear God. Would you all? If they have no fear of God before them, I'm wasting their time and my time trying to explain the Bible to them. But if they have the fear of God in them, it's evidence they've been born again. Now continue with me. Verse 27 of Acts 13. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers... Now, Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, the capital city. And Paul is talking about those that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers. He's talking about the top echelon of Jewish religion, their rulers, because they knew him not, that is Jesus, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day. Now, I want you to picture in your mind these Jews sitting in a synagogue every Sabbath day, hearing the voice of the prophets being read. Every Sabbath they heard it. And yet they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Isn't that amazing? Nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. So these people had the Old Testament, but they didn't have the keys to unlocking it. They didn't understand it. Brother John Mazzell explained Friday night down at Bay Springs how the Jews, how Isaiah wrote such a detailed description of our Savior in Isaiah chapter 53, and yet he didn't fully understand what he was writing. David in Psalm 22 gives us a very vivid x-ray of the crucifixion of our Savior, but David didn't fully get it. That light was coming later on in the New Testament. So now the Apostle Peter, who no doubt sat in many synagogues on Sabbath days and heard the prophets read, but didn't understand it, didn't get it. So when Jesus came into the world and called Peter and others to be his apostles, they did not understand that Jesus was going to have to die. When Jesus said to them there in Matthew 16, where Brother Wynn was, he said, I must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the scribes and the priests and the elders and die. You know what Peter did? He didn't say, well, Jesus, that's exactly what Isaiah said was going to come to pass. That's exactly what David pictured. No, Peter grabbed him and shook him and rebuked him and said, this will never come to you. They didn't understand why Jesus came into the world. They thought he came to establish a Jewish kingdom and set up a throne in Jerusalem and restore the glory of David to the house of Israel. They did not understand. They didn't understand the prophecies of the Old Testament that Jesus was coming to die on a cross. And many, many Jewish people who would read the Old Testament and the prophecy of Isaiah would think there's two Messiahs coming. One is coming to die and one is coming to reign. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus came to die and then to reign. Amen. And God gave the Apostle Peter the key to understand that. Now, do y'all know how blessed we are tonight to have a little light on this subject? Angels would have loved to have seen this. Angels are glorious beings. How would y'all like to see an angel? We'd all probably be scared to death. They might be 10 feet tall. They're glowing. They have on this white raiment. They're powerful. I'd be scared to see an angel. Angels were glorious beings. One angel in one night had the physical power to kill 195,000 soldiers in King Sennacherib's army. Just one angel. What y'all think about that? Wouldn't that be something? Probably knowing us, as weak as we sometimes are, we might bow down and want to worship an angel. Angels are glorious. But you know what angels are? They are ministering servants to the elect of God. They're your servants tonight. Let's read what Paul said about it in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. He's talking about the angels. And he said, verse 7 of chapter 1, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, Jesus, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. And in verse 6, He said, and let all the angels of God worship him. Angels are not to be worshipped, but they bow and worship Jesus. And then notice what he says about the angels in verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? And if you're an heir of God tonight, I want to tell you, you've got an angel watching over you. I remember vividly one night at Bethel Church in Dublin, Georgia, one Wednesday night. They used to have a Wednesday night meeting, and Elder Byrd was up preaching, and there weren't many of us there that night, but Brother Byrd was quoting that text, and he said, for every child of God here tonight, there's an angel. Now that got my attention. You may say, well, Brother Sam, where are they? Well, they can be made visible, but most of the time they're invisible. But they are ministering spirits. They are our servants, ministering to us because we are the heirs of salvation. And an angel, as glorious a being as they are, will never rejoice in the gospel of grace because Jesus never died for angels. I love him tonight. What about y'all? I want to love him more. He loved me and gave himself for me. And the more I hear about that, the more I want to love him and worship him. But angels just don't get it. They worship him as the creator, but they don't worship him as the savior and the redeemer. They don't get that. But we are blessed tonight in the New Testament to see it. And that key has been given to us to unlock the gospel in the New Testament. Oh, beloved, how glorious it is. I want to go with you now to 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's notice something else the Apostle Peter had to say about the Word of God. I have to be fragile with my Bible because it's about as old as I am. And some of the pages are worn and they need to be laminated. Let's see. I'm trying to get over here to 2 Peter chapter 1. And let's look at what the Apostle Peter had to say about the Word of God. He would say in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Peter knew he wasn't going to live long. He was already an old man, and he would soon be gone. He says, I'm going to put off this, my tabernacle. I understand my time is very short on this earth. But he said, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. And I hope, brethren and sisters, after my decease, this gospel will continue to be preached right here at this church till Jesus comes. It's not about us. It's about the message and the gospel. Do y'all agree with me tonight? So the apostle is saying, after my decease, I want these things always in remembrance. You may forget me, but don't you remember these things, the gospel. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He says, we didn't use cunningly devised fables. What did he use? He used the keys that Jesus gave him. Are y'all looking at the clock? I got my eye on it. All right. He says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I tell you, there's a lot of fables being preached in America tonight, all over this world. Preachers standing up, preaching fables, make-believe stuff. I appreciated what Brother Wynn said about the young boy. People wondering, was he baptized? Did he accept Jesus? None of that matters. If Jesus loved him and Jesus paid his sin debt, you know where he's going? He's going straight to heaven. His spirit's already there. And anybody who gets up and say he did his part, now you got to do your part, that's a cunningly devised fable. That's resting the Word of God. Jesus said, it is finished. What part of it is finished? Don't y'all understand? That's what Brother Obey said. He told his teacher when he went back to the seminary, and he found out God had given him a key to unlock the gospel. And he went back over there to the seminary. That's why he came to America, to go to the seminary and find out the truth. He knew the Bible as well as anybody I think I have ever known. You couldn't bring up an Old Testament subject Brother Obey didn't know about, but he didn't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. He couldn't put it together. And God blessed me and others to teach him to use the key to unlock it. So when he finally saw that Jesus did it all on the cross and went back to the seminary, I said one day, Brother Obey, why don't you just quit the seminary? We'll study together. He said, I'd lose my visa. He had to stay in the school to keep his visa. But I want to tell you what he told his professor one day. What part of it is finished don't you get? Well, he didn't get it before he came to the old Baptist. What part of it don't y'all get? I believe y'all get it. And my heart aches for people who think that people that don't join the church and get baptized and all of that are going to hell. That's a false doctrine, brethren.
Amen.
Now, I love the church, and people ought to join the church, and people ought to be baptized, and people ought to enjoy the church. I am.
Amen.
But that's not what's getting us to heaven. It's what Jesus did on the cross.
Amen.
And as I said today, when our Heavenly Father brought him out of the grave, the Father was saying amen to what Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. So Peter says, we didn't use cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Wow. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Peter heard that in the Mount of Transfiguration. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Beloved, let's not let this light go out. There's a lot more to this subject. I kept writing down scriptures that kept in my mind, coming to my mind. I'm not trying to improve on Brother Wynn's sermon, but you know we're a tag team. But let's let our light shine. If you know the truth, it's not wrong for you as a sister to share with somebody where you work. You know, the lady came up with five kids and told her pastor, said, I've been called to preach. He said, you're right, and there's your congregation. Tell those children. Teach them in the home. I tell you, mamas can do a lot of teaching that daddies probably can't teach. Let your light shine. I was at Pleasant Plains the other night, and you know what happened when I got up and tried to preach? The lights went out. It was thundering and lightning. And I asked them, I said, y'all want me to stop? And they said, no. Well, I happen to have my smartphone in my pocket. Aren't they smart? I pulled it out, turned on the flashlight, and I kept preaching. I finished my sermon. I was letting my light shine. Literally. Well, I want to tell you, God gave y'all a light. And you can let it shine. Let me tell you, when you go around in your neighborhood visiting people that are sick or taking a dish of food to a home where there's sickness or death, that's letting your light shine. Did you know that? That's a sermon, isn't it? When you hear about somebody that's in need financially and you try to help them out and you don't talk about it, church I was pastoring got an anonymous gift of $10,000. I wanted to know so bad who gave it so I could thank them. But I was thrilled that they wanted to be anonymous. But they were letting their light shine. And when you help somebody financially that's in need, that's a wonderful thing. When you are loving your husband, loving your wife, loving your parents, taking care of your parents. My cousin Pete was here today with his mom, and Pete took his mom and dad into his home for 6 months after Joe had a stroke. You know, that's Christianity in shoe leather. It really is. That's letting your light shine. And may God help all of us just to live humble, quiet, simple lives. Just go around doing good. Thank you all for your attention this evening.